wonderful, eternal, anointed, amen, inspired Word of God. I'll tell you what, I don't know what you've read this week. You've not read anything like this Bible unless you've read this Bible. Praise God. You shall know the Scriptures from thy youth, and they are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You can't beat that. You can get an instruction manual, how to. There's a lot of books for dummies out there. I do my taxes with a Taxes for Dummies book. And there's a lot of books you can read. And I always read the instructions after I lose some parts and can't figure out how to do it. I'll go back and get them and read them. But there's no instruction manual like this one. It not only tells you how to live in this life, it'll tell you how to get to the other life. And brother, isn't that what it's all about? It is what it's all about. I've got a habit of asking too many questions while I preach. Amen. But I ought to just make statements, but I get in this question-asking mode. But amen. We're talking about the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and this prayer that has came up. The Lord begins to tell them on the Sermon on the Mount about prayer. Now, you know, a lot of times when you're preaching and reading, you got your favorite parts, and a lot of times people make whole movements on certain fragments of the Scripture and leave out all the other. But you know, really, the Bible, if you remember God talking to the prophets before, and he'll show them a roll, they'll call it, like a scroll, and he'll tell them, eat this. Eat the whole thing. It'll be bitter to taste, sweet to the stomach. And sometimes that's the way the Bible is. All Scripture, A-L-L, is given by inspiration and is profitable. Amen. The Bible is profitable. A lot of times it's kind of like in a carnal sense, it's like a salve. Amen. If you don't apply it, it does not help you. Amen? And if we look at this Bible, and you know, a lot of times we apply it to everybody else. We just, well, I hope they're listening. And a lot of times a husband and wife will go to church, and if the preacher's on it, the wife will, gal, you getting this? And he said, are you? Huh? Yeah, did you hear that? I heard it. Did you hear it? Oh, we always think, boy, if they were only listening. I'm not going to make you raise your hand, but how many in here has ever been in church hoping somebody got that? Oh, yeah, we have. Because we know it'll help them. But, you know, the Bible is like a mirror. It's not like a set of binoculars. Binoculars, you can see, they need this. But it's not like that. A Bible's like a mirror. We can look in it and see our own self. When's the last time you saw yourself? It'll scare you. It'd be kind of like me when I leave church on Sunday night, driving to Oklahoma, drive all night long. Time I get there and look in the mirror, what is that? That's me. Amen. The mirror tells the story. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, you may not like what you see, but I'd rather know what I was like as to get to eternity and not be what I thought I ought to be, huh? So the Bible tells us, and that's what we're going, that's the reason I'm telling you this morning. I'm talking about prayer, and I've talked about this Lord's Prayer for several Sundays, but I don't know of anything any more vital than us learning this, not only how to pray, but to pray. And so we're going into the Lord's Prayer again, and you can quote it with me this morning, if you would. Amen. Let me see here if I can. The Bible tells us to enter into the prayer closet and pray after this manner. Are you there? Let's say it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praise God. All right, we've studied much of this. Last Sunday we touched just briefly on give us this day our daily bread. We talked to you a little bit about that and how that, a lot of times we're living in a blessed country where our daily bread is really not a factor anymore. But how many of y'all can remember a day when you did have to pray about your daily bread? Huh? Anybody else? How many can remember ever having to do that in your young, maybe in your young married life or whatever it was? But I don't think this scripture is just talking about bread per se. It's talking about our daily sustenance of life, what we need to survive. And I told you last Sunday, Jesus said for us not to worry and to be really anxious about things like this. Amen. Food and raiment and housing and clothing, it said not to make that a priority, just to worry yourself to death about it. He said because God knows that you have need of these things. But here in this prayer, he gives us a pattern of prayer. And really, are y'all with me this morning in the fact if we pray more about everything, it would make everything better? Huh? How many feels that way? Amen. Now, I know sometimes we pray about certain things and are disappointed because it don't come like we thought it would. But that doesn't mean there's not a great benefit and blessing to prayer. And so after we've got into the closet of prayer and we acknowledge that God is our Father, we're His children, He is holy and hallowed and sacred. You know, we're in a world that hardly anything is sacred anymore. But we have got to, in our spirit and in our mentality and in who we are, we look at things and put appreciation and value on those things. Can you say amen? I went out there with this preacher, and he's a mechanic, retired, and he's into these old cars and stuff. You know, he has an old Jeep that he's redone and redid everything. It's an old, I forget what model it was. It's an old panel type Jeep, really neat old thing. But boy, you could tell he loved that old thing. He'd worked on that and put that thing together. And you know, to a lot of people, how many knows that I remember one time seeing a little young girl, a young teenage girl at a camp meeting, and she was over in a trash can digging through the trash can. And I thought, what in the world is this girl? And boy, she was dressed up and her hair all curled and looked so pretty and in a trash can digging out. And I thought, what in the world? And I was so curious that I said, what are you looking for in the trash can? She said, I had my retainer on the table. And said, Daddy paid, I forget how many hundreds of dollars, and said, I throwed that away. I must have just wadded it up and said, he's going to kill me if I come home without that retainer. I wanted to jump right in that trash can with the poor little girl and help her find that retainer that she'd throwed away. Mistake. That thing was valuable. Amen. It meant a lot to her. And so it motivated her to get in the trash can. We're living in an age where people, it's just easy come, easy go. It's like nothing sacred is important to people anymore. But brother, listen, we've got to understand, amen, what is valuable in this world. And I'll tell you something that is really valuable to a child of God. And that is a prayer life, amen, that is effectual and fervent and prevails much. Amen. That's our only hope, praise God. And so we've got the permission, and I don't feel like moving right through this, but we're going to the next point. But brother, you and I, we have to live in this world, and we have to be sustained. We've got to be able to pay our bills. We've got to be able to have food on the table. We can't just buy. No, we're used to just bypassing that because America, amen, throws away more food every day than a lot of countries have, amen. And so we take for granted. But brother, listen to me. Amen. We need to learn and teach our children, amen, that prayer is the key, amen, to sustaining a good, happy, wholesome life. Amen. And so it says, give us this day our daily bread. And you know, God does allow us, once after we've honored him, and after we have put his kingdom first, thy will be done. Amen. If we don't need to ask for things that are not God's will. Well, let's go on. I said we don't need to ask for things. That's not God's will. I really think if we get out, and I'm going to move right on, but I really think that we battle a covetous spirit sometimes. We want everything we see. One guy said, I'm not covetous. All I want is my acre of ground and everything that joins it. Well, that's not much, is it? But isn't that the way we are? Amen. How many knows a lot of times you've got a raise, and before it's even got it on the check, you've already figured out, what can I buy? Here I've got an extra $100. What can I buy that the payment won't be over $100? Now, I know you good Republicans out there aren't like this, but there's a lot of folks like that, aren't they? Now, while I've gone, something has happened to y'all's voices. Because I didn't hear many amens, but how many knows that's human nature? And you know what we got to pray on is work. We got to work on, amen, the Bible said to be content with such things as you have. Oh, man, you'd think I was preaching on dipping snuff or something while y'all holding back on me here. Huh? That's right. And then we get down and pray, Lord, give us, and we know we've got to have things to survive. We've got to make it a point of prayer. When we get to the point where we think, well, we're so talented, and we're so strong, and we're so shifty, we can make it on our own, we're going to get in trouble. Amen. I tell you, there's times, amen, and I've seen it right here. Now, you may not have, but I've seen it right here in America. I've seen it right here. People with degrees that could teach school and had math degrees that was out doing drywall work and looking for a job. You understand that drywall work is not a... it's not a curse, but I'm just saying they couldn't find the job that they were trained for. And right now, amen, really the economy in a sense is booming. Amen, in one sense. Amen. But listen, how fragile is it? I said, how fragile is it? I don't want to be negative here, because we're going to move to the next point. Amen. But listen, we need as a people to get back to the old-fashioned way of praying about everything in our life. Can you say amen? And then it says, give us this day our daily bread, and he will not let you down. I said, he will not let you down. Now you didn't like that scripture much, and it don't get any better for you. Listen to this. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. How many feels the need this morning in prayer? Now, I want to tell us something here. God help me to pray, tell it right. I love you. If our prayers never have this prayer in it, there's something wrong with us. Now, you say, well, I'm saved. I am saved. I don't have to ask forgiveness. Now, Jesus said that this is how you ought to pray, after this manner. Father, forgive us our debts. Huh? Have you ever, how many feels the need for forgiveness this morning? Now, I'm not saying you've been out there sinning all week long. We better not have. But brother, we need the spirit, this repentive spirit. Amen. And it puts an humbleness in us to make us know that, praise God, we need forgiveness from God. And notice what it's tied. Forgive us our debt. Now, here's what we do a lot of time. We want God to forgive us of every ornery thing we've ever done, but we don't want to forgive nobody else. Huh? Now, it don't work like that. Now, I know it's quiet in here this morning. I said, but it does not work that way. When we got to prayer, and how many of you with the preacher this morning, when you go to prayer, that God reminds you of these things sometimes? Praise God. Now, when you forgive somebody, when God forgives you, praise God, that you have to ask God to forgive you and confess your sins and repent of your sin. How many knows what repent means? To change your mind about committing those sins. And when you repent of something, you stop doing it. And when you are willing to stop doing it, he's willing to forgive you for ever doing it before. He'll wipe it just as clean and justify you just as clean as if it had never happened. Can you say amen? How many knows he forgives you and he doesn't hold it on you? He doesn't hold you on you. You may go to prayer. You might say, God, do you remember when I did such and such? And he'll say, no, I don't remember. Amen. Are you listening to me? He could, but he decides not to call it back up. He casts them, as one old man said, and you've heard it over and over, he cast our sins in the sea, amen, of forgetfulness, and he put up a no fishing sign. Amen. He does not bring it back up on you. He forgave you when you repented of your sin. And he said, now, amen, I want you to pray, Father, forgive us. I really believe, and you may not understand this, but I really believe we could have a revival. You know, you preach to people, and I knew exactly what you say. Because the way he made the altar call, it almost made, if you stepped out, he was an axe murderer or something, you know, or had, you know, you understand, and y'all weren't about, people get so sanctified that they don't want anybody to think. But you know, I really think we could have revival if we just get in the frame of mind that any time a repented message is preached, that we all go like we was the worst sinner in the house. Huh? You say, well, I wouldn't want somebody to think, hey, praise God. If you're up here at this altar snotting and crying and begging God, I don't think nobody's going to say, boy, you know, look how low down they are. I tell you, we need to get out of that old mindset of wondering what somebody's going to think and say, I'm going to fulfill the Bible. And the Bible says, amen, to pray after this manner. Forgive us of our debt. I'm going to tell you, when you get to the point where you think, amen, that you don't owe God nothing, you're not in debt to God, you don't have to ask forgiveness, then you're getting ready to get self-righteous and hard-hearted and be one of them hypocrites I talked about earlier today. Brother, we've got to keep that spirit of humility and repentance in our heart. And in order to do that, we must realize every time God forgives us, do you think it would hurt us to ask forgiveness every day of our life? Huh? Not a bit. And I tell you, I think we'd have a revival overnight if everybody in the house truly repented. And the things that God had brought to light, even sitting here right now, things that God had brought to light in the people's lives to stop doing it, they just stopped doing it right there and asked forgiveness for ever doing it before. A lot of times people come to the altar and just kind of sign the church book or shake the preacher's hand or just a little dose of do better, you know, rub on a little old, I think I'll straighten up salve on you. That ain't going to work. You got to repent of your sins. You got to turn away from them. Walk away and leave them there. And ask God by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know why I don't know people go sometimes? They leave it laying there time and again and come and go right back and pick it up again. The reason, they never got it under the blood. You got to put it under the blood and repent of it. Amen. And put it behind you. Amen. All right. And then he says, when we pray this prayer, forgive us our debts, it says, while we are forgiving those that have committed a trespass against us, those that are in debt to us, we forgive our debtors as you forgive us. Say it's not important. It is important. Now, let's move it on. It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then notice this. Lead us not into temptation. Amen. Lead us not into temptation. You know what this tells me? Jesus is talking about here. I think Jesus is letting us know, amen, that we're not that tough. We're not that brassy. We're not that infallible. Amen. That we just wade right on through. Amen. God has got to give us. He has got to lead us. We have got, if we're not following the Lord, then we're probably going to go right into temptation. But the prayer here is, lead us not into temptation. Amen. But deliver us from evil. You see, now right here, brother and sister, you got to get this with me. I wish I could preach better to you this morning. But we've got to realize that there's a problem in the life of a Christian that will destroy a Christian, and it's called sin. We've got to have sin forgiven. And then we've got to have a lifestyle of prayer that we do not go boldly into areas in our life that causes temptation in our life. We have got to avoid that. Walk not by it. Go around it. Don't be partakers of it. And we ask the Lord, lead us not. Lord, lead us out of this temptation. And then it said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, amen, from evil. How are you going to escape evil? God is going to deliver you from evil. Amen. If he don't deliver us from evil, then we're going to get washed up. Amen. We can't do it on ourselves. How many knows the Bible said we're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust? You can't blame nobody else. Well, I'll tell you what, I had an old buddy and he just drug me out into sin. We're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust. They belong to you. They're in that carnal nature that you have. When we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Amen. That's, and so we need to get up praying. Hey, we don't pray, Lord, how much of this can I do and still be a Christian? That's not the prayer that Jesus taught. The prayer that Jesus taught was, lead me not into temptation. Don't, Lord, don't leave. I'm going to follow you, and I'm asking you, don't put me, amen, lead me in a way, amen, that'll cause me to fall or fail or sin. And how many knows that's a prayer that God will answer? How many's ever got out and said, oh, God, I want to be closer to you, and hear God say, I'm all for it. If you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. God doesn't want you. So all we have to do, we want to live a holy life. And how many knows that ought to be our aspiration and goal in our life, is to live a holy life. Then we need to pray, God, just help me. Don't lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Amen. And you know, a lot of times we think about, what if certain things, evil things happen? What would we do if it happened? But I'll tell you what, we don't need to dwell a whole lot on what we would do. Huh? And you know, and you know, a lot of people, you know, you can carry a gun, and I'm not a gun. I don't know a lot about guns. And I like guns. I mean, as far as that, I think it is a right to bear arms in America. I think the Constitution gives a right. But I'm gonna tell you this, if you think that you can carry a pistol and protect your home and your life and your people, then that's all you need, you're in trouble. Unless you're just as quick as old Wyatt Earp. And somebody probably nailed him before it was over. I'm going to tell you, now, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, that it'd be wrong to defend your property. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying the best defense you'd have of your property is when you get up in the morning, get on them knees, and say, God, protect my home. Huh? Am I telling you right? Is that not the best defense? Say, God, protect my home. And you know, all of my friends carry guns, and some of them preach here and got one in their pocket while they're preaching. You can see it sticking out of there. You know, they're packing now. They've got that permit and they pack guns. And I'm not being critical of that, but I tell you, I know how I am. You know, if I had a gun and got in a situation, I just don't know how straight I could shoot and don't how fast I could shoot. And I don't even know what I'd do. Now you might have practiced that, and you may have a lot of notches on your gun. I don't know, but I tell you what, I just when I think about stuff like that, Brother Zane, amen. And I would if somebody went to hurting some of my people, I may not have a gun, but I'd claw them if I could. Our battles with swords and knives and rocks. Is that right? We've got, and I'll tell you what we need is we get up in the morning, Lord, keep the thief away. Keep that molester away from my children. Ain't that right? Deliver us from evil. Amen. And I think that is part of this prayer. And this is a great prayer. And I think we ought to pray that for ourselves and our children, and we teach our children to pray. Lord, I can't fight my way through this. I'll end up too slow. Amen. Or not straight enough. Or get the wrong bullet in the wrong gun or something. So I'm going to ask you, Lord, to put your hand over me and you protect me and keep me out of a situation where I'd have to do this. Amen? Somebody say amen. And so we pray this prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. For thine is the kingdom. Is that what it says? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Now, I just got a few more minutes here, but in our prayer, in our closing out of this prayer, after we prayed for provision and protection and resist temptation. And really, and we've all been through things, but really, Brother Jeff, there's only one thing can pull us down. Only one. Not the devil. And not even the flesh. Because the flesh, we can crucify. We have a means of crucifying the flesh. The only thing that can get us is sin. If we yield, commit sin, then we're doomed. I said we're doomed if we commit sin. Far as eternity, if we leave here with sin in our life. So our whole ambition ought to be to live holy and sinless in this world. By the grace of God. Can you say amen? That ought to be a point of prayer. I've had people argue with me over teachings in the Bible. And I don't like to be argumentative, not really. But I've had them argue with me about standards that I believe is in them. And I've asked young people before when they didn't want to line up, you know, to what the Bible teaches. And I've said, here, just do me this favor. I want you to fast 3 days about this and go somewhere and pray about it for about an hour and see what God says about it. Huh? You say, well, brother, yeah. If you really want to know the essence and the truth about a scripture, honestly, just seek God in fasting and prayer. God's not trying to keep this a secret. He'll show you. But I'll guarantee you, those that's wanting to live worldly and do that, I guarantee you they don't do that. I guarantee you they won't honestly do that because they know. But I'll tell you, our goal ought to be living clean before God. Amen. And even on the other side of the spectrum, people that have cults and standards that are not biblical and try to enforce them on other people, take that to altar prayer. And if it's not of God, just forget it. I said, just forget it. If God don't say it, then it ain't worth fooling with. Let's live and do what God wants us to do. Amen? And then he says, for thine is the kingdom. Do you believe that? That God has the kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. And I know right now it looks like, what's the guy's name can y'all say that name in Iran? Huh? Boy, that's a toughie, ain't it? I just call him John half the time. Because it sounds like Ahmadinejad. Huh? Well, I don't know what his first name is, y'all. The president of Iran? Hello? Y'all get a newspaper? Huh? Ahmadinejad. You know, that guy is wild. I mean, he gets up and says, that he will not be happy, Iran will not be happy until Israel is no longer. And he's got nuclear capacity, building nuclear bombs. And him just a wild man. But you know, he's really not running things. And then there's old Russian Putin is his name. And there he is. And he's just handpicked another president of Russia who turned around and made him prime minister. Boy, that sounds fishy, don't it? Huh? Then you've got old Castro down there in Cuba. And Castro's, he's going the way of all the earth. Is he dead yet or he's still hanging in there? Does anybody know? He's not dead yet, is he? So he appointed his brother Raul Castro to run Cuba. And you know, Cuba's just about 100 miles from America. Did y'all know that? You go to Miami, I mean, old Castro, if he's got a good left arm, he could pitch a baseball nearly and hit somebody. Well, not hardly. But he's a communist, and he's got his people. But, you know, he's really, it's not his kingdom that it is the kingdom. I tell you, Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, every nation is going to submit themselves to the kingdom of God Almighty. How many think that, you know, you think in the news this week about that Mormon outfit down there in Texas, wasn't it Mormons that had all them men that married a bunch of different women and had hundreds of kids, and them kids don't even know who their mom and daddy is. Hardly. They just all scattered in there and committing adultery. Ain't that right? Huh? And them in there in that cult. I tell you what, this world is going nuts. But I'm gonna tell you something. And a lot of times they look at religion, they bunch us all up. I'll never forget the morning after it came out on Jimmy Swaggart when he was found with that woman out there in the motel. And I walked into the Lowe's, I was building a house, and I walked in there, and this guy, this is what he said. And I don't know Jimmy Swaggart from The Man in the Moon. And he said, "Well, I heard about your buddy." Buddy, I thought, what in the world is he about that? You know, he knew I was a preacher, and I said, what do you mean? I didn't really know what he was talking about. "I heard about your buddy." "Well, what about it? It's on the news today." "Boy, that's a mess." I said, "What buddy's on the news?" "Jimmy Swaggart. He ain't my buddy." But you know, ain't it something how the lost world wants to put all religious people in the same sack? How would they feel if we put all sinners in the same sack? Bunch of Jeffrey Dahmers or somebody out there, huh? No, they wouldn't like it a bit, but there they go. But you know, people do. They think of religion. You know, they think of these guys down there that's got all these young girls and so-called, and that's religion. That ain't religion. That is out of hell. Are you hearing me? But I'll tell you what, the kingdom of Jesus Christ is a wonderful kingdom. Huh? Now, you talk about Islam. And you know, and they do. Islam is, they have a they're radical. Muhammad was radical. He was a murderer. Anybody that opposed him, he just destroyed them. Does that sound like Jesus Christ to you? Huh? This ministry of, hey, anybody that's not Islamic, hey, man, is an infidel according to Islamic religion. Is that, hey, that mean, hateful, murderous religion, does that sound like the kingdom of God to you? There is only one kingdom that's above all, and that's the kingdom of Jesus Christ, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thy kingdom. For thine is the kingdom, the power. God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Amen. Thine is the power and the glory. Amen. Forever. Praise God. And that word glory, I couldn't even take the rest of my ministry and really preach what all that's about. Brother, when you talk about glory, that's what we're looking for in here. And I know it gets a little warm in here on Sunday morning. If you worked hard, you get sleepy. I know you do. I'm up here running my mouth. It's hard for me to fall off of me talking like you. But I know these people, you just can't hardly hang in here. I understand. That's it's just human nature. It gets too warm in here. Amen. Order to give everybody a glass of water to hold and see if that'll keep you awake. Huh? But I'm not jumping on you. It's just hard to stay awake. Sometimes it gets boring and stuff. You know, but I won't tell you. It ain't boring to me because I've prayed about it. It's part of my life. I'd rather hear this than anything in the world. Now, I get bored going down the road and trying to find something on the radio or hearing Fox News, blah, blah, blah. Now, that's boring, I tell you. But this ain't boring to me. But I'm going to tell you, the kingdom come, thy will be done, the glory. What we need to do when we come in this house, we need to start seeing the glory of God. Brother, that'll wake you up. Your eyes will pop open. Wow! God's in this house. Huh? And you know, a lot of times we don't think nothing's going on to somebody that runs the backs of the seats or something or runs around. And that's a demonstration of it. But brother, we don't have to see God to feel His glory. All right, let's stand. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just go eat some chicken, see if that'll help. Praise God. All right, we try to, now let me say, I got one more point in this verse, and maybe all of y'all will agree with this last word in this prayer, and it says, amen. Praise God. A lot of times we think amen is the end of it, and that's all of it, and that's all. But amen means I agree, or everything's confirmed that I just said, amen. That's why when you're preaching, nobody says amen. The preacher thinks they don't agree with this.